all have open hearts to hear what the Lord wants to say to us. Let's agree together in prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you so much, Lord, that in your life, Lord, we can totally immerse ourselves. We can be in that river of your life, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for Faith, Lord, that how time and time again she leads us to the river. And Lord, she helps us get back in that flow of your spirit and your life. And Lord, we just bless her today to be fully in your river of life and to release that word that you have put on her heart, Lord. And we thank you for the anointing that rests on Faith. Lord, may we all be alert to your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great. Well, good evening, everybody. We've got a wonderful topic tonight, and it's called True Friends. And I know that several people sort of wanted to call it True Friendship, which sounds neater, but I really want to talk about the people. That's us. And I wanted to talk about True Friends. So should we have just the first slide up? This is our title. Now, we know that this is not an accurate description there, True Friends, because we all know that old sitcom, which I don't think appears anymore now, unless it's on Dave or something like that. But you know, you remember that was a presentation of friendship, which I think actually influenced an enormous number of people during the years that that was on television, because it seemed to present a wonderful picture that everybody wants of friendship. However, it was a tiny bit false, wasn't it? They were all from the same nationality. They were all the same age group. They were middle class, a group of friends together. And, of course, also, they didn't always be true friends to each other either. So it's not the best picture, but I thought it was the only one I could think of that showed friends. How's that? Okay, so before we go to the next slide, we won't go yet, let's take a minute, because I think we did this a little bit earlier, but I was thinking, when we think about true friends, I thought it would be good to silently, each of us, give thanks for someone who was or is a true friend to you. And I think as we do that, let's give thanks for them. Let's give thanks for them. Let's just take a minute to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Keep working in our own hearts, Lord Jesus, because you are so full of love. You know, a number of years ago, I decided that I would like to have written on my tombstone. Have you ever done that? Probably won't have a tombstone, but you know, you kind of think, what epitaph would I like? Well, the one I chose at that time was, it's a little verse by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and it goes like this. I thank all who have loved me from their hearts with thanks and love from mine. Deep thanks to all. Shall I say that again? I thank all who have loved me from their hearts with thanks and love from mine. Deep thanks to all. Now, I then felt maybe I needed to add a tiny bit, and so I just added, especially Jesus. Which is true, isn't it? Especially Jesus. But we are grateful. I think I felt deeply grateful, and I still do, for all the people over the years who've loved us, believed in us, supported us in prayer and sometimes material ways. And I want to say deep thanks to all, because I want to be a friend like that to others. Now, don't you? So I'm going to first of all think that about the bad side of friendships, the things that go wrong. I was actually thinking, you can put the next slide up, because I wanted to just, you know, this is Caesar being slain by his friends. And I was just thinking, people often say this, don't they, this saying, with friends like these, who needs enemies? And sometimes I hear people say that, not about this church, but I've heard people say it about the church. With friends like these, who needs enemies? In fact, somebody wrote a book called With a Church Like This, Who Needs Enemies? And so it was a real kind of sideswipe, because the author had found quite a lot of pain and difficulty in church. Now, that's not what we want to be. So we want to think about for a moment. I bet some of you are wishing tonight that, or you could say that you had had true friends and you wanted to thank them. But some of us feel pain in our hearts when we talk about true friends, because you had people you thought were your friends, but they turned out not to be. It was a false friendship. For you and for all of us, I want us to look to Jesus, because he is only, ultimately and forever, your friend. And we want to read in the Word of God how we can become more like him in our lives. So Jesus, as we've been looking at Hebrews in the mornings, you remember Hebrews presents Jesus as our friend and our brother. And I love that verse in Proverbs that says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for when you go through difficult times. Jesus is our friend and our brother. And I don't want us to forget that as we look at some of the things that, in particular, we're going to see what the book of Proverbs says, and then a bit in the New Testament. So let me just look. Okay, I'm all right. Right. Okay, what is the Bible's wisdom on the whole area of friendship? I'm sure some of you will be familiar with this, but let's have a look. Okay. First of all, whoops, where am I? Yes, some practical advice. Here it is. Now, this is two verses in Proverbs. It gives you some practical advice about how to manage your friendships. Don't go to your friend's house too often lest he become weary of you, Proverbs 25:17. Now, I know some of you will think it says don't go to your neighbor's house, and that's often how it's translated, but actually the word is exactly the same word in the Hebrew as the word friend, so I'm keeping it to the subject of friend, okay? Don't go to your friend's house too often lest he become weary of you. Now, I think that's just a little bit of practical advice for us sometimes. Do you think? Sometimes if you have, you know, quite often been to visit someone or turned up on them or whatever, and then you begin to feel the friendship's getting a bit strained, sometimes a good thing to do is just step back a bit, isn't it? Just let them be who God wants them to be, and you be who God wants you to be. So that's just a really practical thing for a time. So don't go to your friend's house too often. Now the next one is, I'm sure some of you will resonate with this one. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. I always find this astonishing that the Word of God says this, because, you know, it's so practical. It's the person who is totally insensitive. How's that? That's what it means, totally insensitive. You know, when you're feeling absolutely wretched, they come out and say, wonderful, hallelujah, how, you know, do you know what I mean? So sometimes we're not very sensitive to one another. And of course, for some people, early in the morning, they're quite sensitive, aren't they? So don't bless your, even though you want to bless them with a loud voice.
I had one like that.
You had one like that at college.
Sing Wesleyan hymns at 6 in the morning.
Right. Well, how wonderful. He had a spiritual friend who sang Wesleyan hymns at 6 in the morning, and Roger didn't find it easy to count him a true friend. I don't know. Okay, Wesley hymns as well. My goodness. Anyway, so let's go to the next one. These are the advice we have in Proverbs. Don't betray friendship. It's so easy, actually, to do that, isn't it? Because we're very fleshly people, aren't we? Often. We want to live in the Spirit, but sometimes we're a bit fleshly. So don't devise evil against your friend who dwells trustingly by you. That's really awful. I don't know if anyone here has ever had that experience where somebody or some people who you thought were your friends or your friend, and then suddenly you discover all manner of things have been going on, plots against you for some reason. It's a shock to the system, isn't it? I won't ask you to wave a hand, but I think there are people here who will have found that. And sometimes church leaders have found that. I remember in one of Francis Frangipane's books, he mentions how he was a worship pastor, and he thought all was going well in the church, but he took a stand against something that was a bit demonic coming in that was affecting the congregation. And he said, obviously it was a stronghold and he didn't realize that. And so what actually happened was suddenly all sorts of people began turning against him for no reason he could think of. And he said, people he thought had been his friends for 20 years, they wouldn't speak to him, they turned away, they looked suspiciously at him. What's happening there? Well, There is a false friend out there somewhere, isn't there, who's devising evil. And actually that, it turned out, it all came into the light that there was a major problem. But anyway, that was that story. So we don't want to do that. We want to be faithful and honest with our friends, don't we? So what about the next one? This is actually what I didn't put the whole verse because I thought you might find too much to read, but it actually says, like a madman throwing firebrands is a man who deceives his friend and says, I was only joking. Anybody met those jokers? Sometimes they can say really hurtful things and then they say, I was only joking. But sometimes jokes are near the edge, aren't they? So this is like a madman who throws firebrands. So you wouldn't want to be near one of those. It's a man who deceives his friend and says, I was only joking. So let's not go down that route if that's what we've done. Okay, let's have the next slide. Okay, false friends. We have not only true friends, but false friends. I know when we're looking at the book of Nehemiah, he talks about the true people he put in place as the people who guarded the gates and the doors. And then he talked about false people who actually had other motives and came to him. In Nehemiah, he talks about false prophecy, for example, that was given in order to try to control him and to make him sin. And whilst I don't think we have that around at the moment, it's a reminder that we want to be true friends. But here, the two things that are picked up here, actually that it's not a whisper, it's a whisperer, and it means somebody who whispers in somebody's ear. A whisperer separates the best of friends. Is it all right that I talk about some of the bad sides before we talk about the wonderful? Is that all right? Because we hope they're coming, Roger says, honestly. It does help to have a heckler here, doesn't it? But given, like all of you who are married, you count your spouse as your best friend, don't you? So, you know, best friends, feel free to heckle a bit. Okay. Right. I was thinking about someone we knew some years back, and who actually, there was constant division breaking out around him. It was really strange. And then you'd find something had happened that he'd spoken to somebody and turned them against this person. And we actually challenged him very lovingly, but we said, can we look at this, because this is plainly happening. And then he said to us that actually he knew he needed healing from a deep root of insecurity in him that made him feel threatened if people around him were getting on with each other. He couldn't cope with it. It made him feel, you know, they might turn against me. And so he actually would consciously try to divide people all the time, so that it was very hard to have a lovely, you know, sense of fellowship, of church, of team around that kind of thing. That's because we need healing sometimes, don't we? And that's why we do that. So sometimes we need to look at the motivation of our heart or understand somebody else's motivation. The good thing was he was honest enough to say it and to tell us, and we were able to pray into that deep root of insecurity, which went right back to his childhood, and where in the family there, their whole family was like that all the time, everybody against everybody all the time. Maybe if you had a family like that, we need to look into our hearts and say, Lord, have I been cleansed and freed from anything that might have left in me that would make me a false friend? Because this second one, this one's about gossip, the next one, Proverbs 17:9. He who repeats the matter separates friends. To repeat the wrong thing in gossip can separate friends. So these false friends are actually trying to break up friendships. We don't want any of that in our hearts or lives, do we? I don't at all. I think it's really precious that we are together in the Lord. Okay, let's have the next one. Proverbs tells us, choose your friends wisely. And here's a practical one. Make no friendship with an angry man, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. And then, secondly, Proverbs 12, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, we're told in the Word of God. Now, I know that we all want to be friends with those who are outside, friends with people who need us. I know that. But there's a way of showing friendship to people who maybe are not not really as straightforward as we would like them to be. To show love and friendship is different to having a bosom friend of that person, isn't it? So we need to think about, who do we draw into close friendships? Let's choose our friends carefully. Proverbs tells us to, because it wants us to discover real friendship. Okay, let's have the next slide. It's a bit bad news at the moment, isn't it? Cynical friends. In Proverbs 19:4 and Proverbs 19:6, it says, it's very cynical here. The rich have many friends. It goes on and says, but the poor man doesn't. And then it goes on, everyone is a friend to the one who gives gifts. So what it's saying is, some people have a very odd motivation for friendship, and they only want to be around those they can gain something from in some way. Is that true? All sorts of ways. It may be position, it may be money, it may be some other route into something that where they see another person can help them, and therefore they become a friend in order to get something. It's really bad motives, isn't it, for friendship. Okay, that's the cynical bit of Proverbs. Let's have the next one. Oh, this is a lot better, okay? This is the blessing of friends. And I'd be amazed if you aren't sitting there thinking, yes, Lord, it's been such a blessing. So first of all, as iron sharpens iron, so a person sharpens the countenance of his friend. In other words, we help one another to become better, to become more effective as people. And iron sharpens iron. There is that interaction in real fellowship, in real friendship, which actually grows you as a person, doesn't it? And isn't that something we want? We want people who help us to grow, not only in our effectiveness in gifting or service, but also in our lives, to help us where we handle things badly. Iron sharpens iron. And part of that sharpening iron, in the same chapter, it tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It's talking about sometimes a friend may need to say something to us that we don't want to hear. So if it's said out of being a true friend, then it's faithfulness, isn't it? And then the person who flatters you all the time, it can be the kisses of an enemy, can't they? Now, we don't want to go around putting each other straight, do we? Wouldn't that be awful? Wouldn't it be awful to have a lot of people who felt their mission in life was to go around and put everybody straight? So we don't want that. But it's just reminding us that sometimes we need to say, no, I don't think that was the best thing to have done. No, I don't feel your attitude to that person is right. No, I don't feel that what you're saying is correct. But still you can love the person, can't you? Because we would all want to be loved if we did that, wouldn't we? So faithful are the wounds of a friend. I was thinking about a little verse by William Blake. You forgive my little poetry references, that's me, isn't it? So, but he once wrote, I was angry with my friend. I told my wrath did end. I was angry with my foe, my enemy. I hid my wrath did grow. What's he saying there? Something quite profound. He's saying that if we are angry or hurt in our hearts or resentful, we need to be willing to go to the person individually, don't we? To talk it through, to pray it through, don't we? Because that's the way that it ends. It just cleanses it all out. But sometimes we don't, because we actually dislike a person, so we then don't tell them the things we don't like about them, because actually we're not really interested in building a relationship. Is that true? Is this all bad news? No, some good news here and there, isn't there? It's really good, and we haven't finished yet anyway. In Proverbs 27:9, the next one, it talks about the sweetness of a friend gladdens a person's heart. The sweetness of a friend. That's beautiful, isn't it? Sweetness of a friend. It gladdens your heart. You feel, oh, that's so lovely. That's just such a blessing. We often see people, don't we? And we think, oh, it's such a blessing to see that person. We feel the sweetness of their presence and their prayers and their love and all those beautiful things. We want to be people who bring sweetness, don't we, in our friendships. So we need the Lord to help us, because we're not going to do it on our own. Without Jesus in our hearts, we won't be able to do it, because the world is full of betrayal, of lies, and of enmity. But Jesus and his kingdom is full of true friends and true friendship. And then here we go, is another one in Proverbs 27. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. I found that interesting. I was thinking about that and thinking we should honour and be grateful for those who have actually befriended maybe our relatives, our parents or whatever. But because it's a kind of, it's asking for loyalty. Now, loyalty can be sometimes wrongly used, but I love the fact that in the Old Testament, when it talks about God's loving kindness, the word in Hebrew is hesed, and it actually means God's loyal love. I like that better even than loving kindness. I think God's loyal love to us. I'm not quite sure why it isn't always translated that way, but I think it's more beautiful even than saying loving kindness. God's loyal love. Isn't that beautiful for us? So don't forsake your own friend. Better is a friend nearby than a brother far away. That's really practical again, isn't it? If you have friends here, you may not have family very close, but you can have friends. Those who are going to be supporting you in prayer and love. Okay, shall we have the next one? A man who wants friends, or actually says a man who would have friends, but that means who wants friends, must himself be friend-like. Now this is my slight translation, because in your translation it probably says a man who would have friends must show himself friendly. But I think sometimes, but actually when I was looking at what it really means, it actually means be like a friend yourself. In other words, not just a friendly, happy-go-lucky, you know, life and soul of the party type. You might get friends that way, but it may not be true friends. But it means we must be like a friend, like the kind of friend we've been talking about. If we want to have good, true friends, we need to be a true friend to others, don't we? So a man who wants friends must himself be friend-like. And then that beautiful one, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now we know who that is, don't we? We know who that's talking about prophetically. Although I think it was also talking in Proverbs about the fact that you can have a friend who will stick by you through thick and thin. Which is, and then that's a reflection of who Jesus is in the New Testament. So let's have a look at that. Jesus, our friend. It's a beautiful description of Jesus. Luke 7, he was called a friend of publicans and sinners, friend of the outcast. And we can be a friend to those who are in need. We don't have to follow their ways if they're sinning and in a mess, but we can show true friendship, true care, true love, true prayer. In fact, actually, I was talking to someone on the way in. He was talking about people he was reaching out to and that there were some addiction problems, and was saying that addiction problems, that is addiction to drink, to drugs, to pornography, sex, whatever, those things are very hard to break. And it challenged me again. I thought, if we're really going to be a friend to people who are caught in these things, we've got to find God's power among us, haven't we, to break chains, to truly break them so that they can be free. John 11:11, I love the fact that Jesus says, our friend Lazarus is sick. But he didn't actually initially go straight to Lazarus, because God told him to wait. And then God used Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. A beautiful resurrection story. But I just love the fact that Jesus says, our friend Lazarus. It's really nice, isn't it? Our friend John, our friend Bruce, our friend Shirley. It's a lovely description, isn't it? I just love Jesus. That he speaks like that about, he could have just said, there's that man Lazarus, but he didn't, it's our friend. It's our friend, that's why we want to see him transform, we want to see him raised up. And then John 15, greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Jesus was speaking this to his disciples because prophetically, that's what he was going to do. He was going to lay down his life for his friends. We have a wonderful friend in heaven, don't we, in Jesus. But that was that really old song, wasn't there? What a friend we have in Jesus. It is so true. We have a friend in Jesus. And of course, Jesus was talking about himself there. And that's why he goes on to say, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And then he says, I've not called you servants, I've called you friends. Friends, friends, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but a friend is close and shares heart together. So we are friends of God, or we can be the friends of Jesus. He's called us friends. It's so beautiful that he's done that. And then, of course, he talks about friendship. So in Luke 11, about the parable of the man who runs out of food and somebody comes to visit him and he goes to his friend at midnight. And that whole little parable Jesus told, the whole story is all about friends. He says, which of you shall have a friend? And that friend shall go to his friend at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come in his journey and I've nothing to set before him. The whole thing is in the context of friends, which is why I feel it must be somehow talking about God's people, this group of friends. And here's a man who's kind of run out of his resources. Perhaps he wasn't very organized, perhaps he just didn't expect this. But the lovely thing is he knew where to go, didn't he? And Jesus was telling this story so that we would ask God when we're in need, and not only just for our needs, but it was for his friend's need, wasn't it? I think one of the most beautiful things and powerful things we can do for one another is to pray for one another, isn't it? We can lift one another in prayer, because it's a little bit like going to God and saying, Lord, you know, my friend has need. And so, Lord, give me those loaves. Give me what's needed. I believe that God wants us to be people who really will pray for others. Pray for each other in the church. Every time somebody comes to your mind, lift them to the Lord in prayer. Just bless them. It has more power than we ever know, really. Okay, so here we go. The church as our friends. Okay, now these are just some New Testament verses, because in the New Testament you find that the church is often called the friends, or it's called, the Christians are called Paul's friends when he's in prison, and they release him to go to his friends so his friends can feed him and look after him and so on. So there are times when in the New Testament it describes the church really as a group of friends, and I think that's amazing. Now, the only thing about that, it can sound very exclusive, can't it? So if we were just being friendly in the flesh, that is according to our human instincts, then we might become cliquey, mightn't we? And that can happen too, can't it? Sometimes you get cliques, groups of people who are so thick with each other that there's no room for anyone else. But I don't believe the Bible uses friends in that way. It's to be is the most wonderful thing, and I've had many people tell me when they became a Christian and came in among God's people, they suddenly found they got friends everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? One of them said to me a few years back, she said, when I got to know, the person who led her to the Lord was a member of ICFAS, and she said, I got to know her and I thought, she is just such a wonderful person, such a wonderful friend. And she said, I used to say, there's nobody in the world like this person. No, she's quite unique. She's just such loving and true. And she said, and then I got saved and I came to church and I found that there were other people like that, that I would say, I can't believe that you're like that, that you're friends and you are loving and you are supportive and you're encouraging and you can have a laugh at times as well, which I'm sure she'd have added. So in John 3:14, John also talks about friends. He says, greet the friends that are with you. The friends who are with me greet you. He's talking about the church again, about God's people, the friends. Beautiful term. And then James 4:4, which unbelievably, I can't remember what it is, but I'm going to look it up. I didn't write those out. That was a mistake, wasn't it? Yes, thank you. I've got it on my notes somewhere, yes. James 4:4 says, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. That's a really hard statement for us. But it means that if we love the world, what John says, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we want to be people who live in the world, but we don't love the world. We don't depend on everybody's friendship in the world, because not everybody will love you, will they? And I think one of the problems we have is so many people in public positions just want to be liked by everybody. Of course, if you're a politician, you need their votes. I understand that. But still, sometimes there's this sense of people playing to the gallery all the time because they want to be liked. But you can't have everybody for your friend. You probably won't. And in the end, it can become a friendship of the world, which is enmity with God. That's a very strong statement, but sometimes the Bible does that because it's trying to say, by contrast, you know, if you're right in the world and all your friends are very worldly people, then you will probably find yourself distanced from God. You won't be close to Him. We need to find our friends, to choose our friends wisely. Let's take the next verse from James, when he talks about Abraham. And he talks about Abraham being the friend of God. I think, again, it's something which resonates in our heart, because we, all of us, need friends. Sometimes we look all around, and when it doesn't work, because you know how it is, you try to make a friend, and then they don't seem very friendly, so you then want to go to somebody else, and then this person seems to turn against you. And sometimes people are looking all the time for friendship, where we need to start with the ultimate friendship, which will last forever, and that is the friendship of God. Abraham, there's a picture of him there when he was in obedience to God, ready to offer up his son. Now that, again, is hard for us, but God stopped him. God didn't want him to do that. He wanted to see what was in Abraham's heart. Do you really love me, Abraham, with all your heart? Do you trust me? Do you trust me that even though it looks really dreadful what's happening, still the end result will be the Lord is there. The Lord is there, and He won't let evil prevail. Abraham, the friend of God. I believe that the Lord wants us to make Him our friend, or to ask Him to make us His friends. And then I believe He wants to move among us and help us to be true friends to one another. We have to keep battling the world, the flesh, and the devil in that, don't we? Because the world, the flesh, and the devil will actually try to destroy friendship. But we need to keep holding on. If you've had a falling out with somebody, pray for them. Ask God to give you more love in your heart. More love, more love, more love. You know that song, more love, more power, more of you in my life. That's what we want above all else. I think it was it in the prayer day or the prayer community last week, we were just asking God to fill us with His love. And it was like He was there and He was smiling and He was pouring out His Spirit to give us more love in our hearts so that we could pray effectively, because you'll pray more effectively if you have love in your heart for the people you are praying for. So, we're going to finish on that note because I want us to pray. And I want us to take a moment to ask the Lord to help us. You know, I think if you haven't been convicted by any of those verses, I would be very surprised, because I know that they were challenging my own heart. Lord, help me to be a true friend. Please, Lord, help me to be a true friend to others. And maybe if the Lord is challenging you, you can just open it to the Lord. Ask Him to cleanse you. Sometimes we fall out with others because we have wounds in our own heart. And that's why we find it hard to accept friendship. A little bit like the person I told you about who had to separate people because he had no faith or trust in true friendship. That was to do with brokenness within, wounds within. If that is us, we need to ask the Lord to heal us. Heal us, Lord, by your Spirit. Let's ask Him to pour His Spirit into us, to cleanse us by His blood. He's the one who makes all things new, and He can renew relationships. Because although we've talked about friendship, and we haven't put it directly in the context of family, but sometimes it's family members, isn't it, who we find those difficulties with. We need to ask the Lord to make us a true friend to our families, even whether or not they wish to have a lot of close contact. We need to ask the Lord to give us grace to be a true friend. A friend in need is a friend indeed. That's true, isn't it, too? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Lord, I just ask that you'll help us to lay before you, Lord, those things that we know that we have failed you in, Lord, in being true friends. And Lord, I pray too that your Spirit will heal the wounds that come into our hearts when friendship is damaged or turns out to be false. God, would you bring your healing tonight as we worship you? Will you move among us and bring healing? Lord, will you restore the bonds of love and fellowship? Will you help us to be in true holy agreements with one another, to desire you to be glorified, Jesus, and your love and your friendship to pour out to those who come in among us? Lord, we need you, and we can't live your life unless you live it in us. So, Lord, will you please do your perfect work among us now? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd like to ask the worship team if they would come back. And then I want to make opportunity for us to be prayed for. If you know God spoke to you, it may be for yourself. It may be that you were wounded by something else. You don't need to explain all the circumstances if you come forward. Sometimes to come forward and just have somebody to pray more of the Holy Spirit, more healing, more love, is all that's needed. And there it would take too long to hear every story. And maybe we don't need to tell the story. Do we need to just give it to the Lord? So as we're worshiping now, shall we stand together? And then if you know that something was touched on, that you'd like the Lord to give you more of his Spirit, more of his healing, perhaps you'd like to come forward.